Thank you very much. Well, I'm here today, as Dr. Lesser said, to talk about Imams Rock. In this talk entitled Demographic Differences in Usage of an, and probably should say here, electronically mediated healthy lifestyle intervention for pregnant women. It's called Imams of Rochester, Imams Rock for short. This is a joint project between the University of Rochester, Department of Public Health Sciences in the School of Nursing, and the Division of Nutritional Sciences at Cornell, and I will also say the Department of Communications at Cornell University is involved in this as well. And it's one of seven projects funded by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute that's focused on preventing weight gain in young adults 18 to 35 years old. So that's one of the common features across our early projects, and the other is all of the projects use electronic technology in some unique way. In our project, we're using electronic communication technology. Oh, that didn't do it. I guess that's wrong there. So I have nothing to disclose, but I'm going to use this slide to tell you about what was on some of the slides that I took out, which is what EMOMS is all about. So EMOMS is a three-arm randomized controlled trial. We have two endpoints, excessive weight gain during pregnancy or excessive gestational weight gain defined by the IOM cut points for excessive gestational weight gain, and then we follow the women till 18 months postpartum and we look at postpartum weight retention. We're testing our intervention, and we actually have two interventions that use electronic communication technology, and the two electronic communication technologies we use are an interactive website and mobile phones, cell phones. Some women get, it's three-arm because some women get intervention during pregnancy only and some women get intervention pregnancy and postpartum. And what I'm going to be presenting today really is part of the process evaluation for this study. The pregnancy portion of this study. So here are the objectives for what I'm going to, for this part of the process evaluation. So we want to examine the utilization of several features of the interactive pregnancy website among this racially and ethnically diverse sample of higher and lower income pregnant women in Monroe County or Rochester, New York. And then we want to see if there are differences in the utilization within selected demographic characteristics of the pregnancy sample. So we have recruited 1,680 pregnant women. We finished the recruitment. On this slide and the next one, I'm going to show you kind of the breakdown of the demographic characteristics of this sample. So everybody is between the ages of 18 and 35, and everybody's obviously female. So about 43% of our sample is lower income, which means they meet the income guidelines for expanded Medicaid coverage of pregnancy and WIC. So they're, you know, less than 200% of the federal poverty line, the lower income group. You can see it's a pretty racially diverse sample, about 62% Caucasian, 23% African American. Then there's other multiple and unknown. Here's the ethnicity breakdown, so it's about 12% Latina, 88% non-Latina, and we've recruited women of normal weight, overweight, and our obese group is limited to class 1 obese, so women up to a BMI of 35. So this is what our sample looks like that we've recruited. And now, this is now, and focus on the left-hand side of the slide, where in the far left column, I list different of the web activities that a woman could have taken part in. And this is for the whole sample, so this includes the control group, which actually it's a placebo control. So they get access to the website and everything. They just get different, they get non-weight related content. So you see, overall, about 86% of women logged in at least once. 45% in rough figures looked at an article. This next one was a surprise to us. We didn't expect the blogs to be so popular, but 52% of the sample looked at blogs. A fifth commented on blogs, and then how many commented on an article, how many viewed FAQs, and then we have resources. And by this, what we're talking about is resources within the Rochester community that a pregnant woman might find useful. So that's overall the usage from the total sample. Now if we move to the right-hand side of the slide, we look at the differences within the categories of our four major demographic characteristics. So in the BMI column, it would be whether there were differences in the usage of this feature of the website across the three BMI groups, within lower or higher income women, African-American versus non-African-American, Latina versus non-Latina. And if you look down the columns first, a couple of things pop out. Not so many differences by BMI group, more differences by income, even more differences by race, and few differences by ethnicity. And we're using p less than 0.01 as the cutoff because we've got a big sample size. If you look across in the rows, we see consistent differences across the categories, most often for login and FAQ view. So now I want to show you just the differences within these demographic characteristics in a bar graph for logins. So that's what's on this slide. And again, this is a total sample. The at-risk or the lighter colored bar would be the lower income, the African-American race, the Latina ethnicity, compared to the non-at-risk group in the darker. And while these are all statistically significant, for us, the surprising thing here is how small the differences are, if you will, for example, across income group. About 78% of low-income women have logged in, about 91% of higher income women. This is statistically significantly different, but just clinically, if you will, or qualitatively, that isn't a huge, huge difference. For ethnicity, the difference is even smaller. It's a little bit bigger for racial group. So we expected to see bigger differences across our demographic characteristics by risk group. Here I'm showing you BMI. I just did this on another slide because it was easier to show this way. And again, you know, obese class 1 women, about 79% of them logged in. It's about 85% of normal BMI women. So not big differences here in usage in logging on to the website. So now I'm going to go to the two arms that received active intervention during pregnancy. And I've set this slide up the same way, and we'll start by looking at the left-hand side of the slide first. You can see the sample size is slightly smaller, 1,118, because these are the control women are not in here. And again, in terms of logging in, you see about 85% of the women in the intervention arms logged in, 69% entered a weight on our weight gain tracker, at least one. Then we go to how many entered a diet goal, how many engaged in diet goal monitoring, rough figures 30%, physical activity goal entry monitoring, and then either diet or physical activity. And here we get up to approaching 40% of women set a diet or physical activity goal for themselves, and then about 35% engaged in self-monitoring of their progress towards the achievement of that goal. And then if we move to the right-hand part of the slide, again, we've got the by BMI group, income, race, ethnicity. Now, one of the things that makes us happy about this slide is there are very few differences in use of the website by BMI group. But weight entry is one of them where there's a difference. By income group, we see a lot of differences. By race, we see a lot of differences, and then fewer by ethnicity. And then if we look across, the one I want to show you, the row I want to show you the data for, are the weight entry, and that's what's on this next slide. So here again, we have the active intervention arms, In the lighter color, we have the at-risk group, so in income, that would be the lower income. In race, that's the African American or the lighter, and in ethnicity, it's the Latina group, and then the darker would be the lower risk group. And here we see slightly bigger differences. So within the intervention arms, we do see rather more substantial differences, say, by income. So about 53% of lower income women entered a wait at least once on the website, whereas about 79% of higher income women did that. And here it is by BMI. And you can see the obese class 1 women were slightly less likely to do this than the normal weight women. And that's actually the only difference that's statistically significantly different on this. Okay, so one of the problems with doing this kind of work is we know these sociodemographic characteristics are all interrelated. And we wanted to try to untangle them a little bit. So to do that, we actually ran logistic regression models and we looked for interactions to try to disentangle these interrelationships. And one of the things we learned is we cannot put both race and ethnicity in this model because the model is highly unstable because we have some small cell sizes. We have a very significant interaction between income and race, and that's really the most consistent finding across the total sample and within the active intervention arms and across features. And I'm going to illustrate that for you for logins. So here's the whole sample, and we're looking at logging in by income and race, and the lighter colored bar is the lower income, and the darker is the higher income. And what you see is within the black women in EMOMS, or the African-American women, there is actually no difference by income in likelihood of logging in. But in the non-black women, there is a significant difference, about a 10 percentage point difference in the likelihood of logging in. So they're statistically significant but relatively small differences in use of website features in the total sample. In the intervention arm, these differences are slightly larger, and I should say that on the slide, but it doesn't say that, so I'm telling you that in words. Use of the website features varies more by income and race than it does by body mass index group. And with that, I'd be happy to take your questions. Maybe I'll put that back up. Yeah. This is really our first pass, and we will definitely look at that. I can tell you in our formative work that we did in developing this project, so another variable we should look at that we haven't looked at here, actually even within the age 18 to 35, the variable that is most predictive of use of these technologies, not specifically the EMOMs, but actually is age, more so even than education.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the sort of pace of research and technology are different. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what EMOMs includes, whether, you know, there's a mobile platform or all this, but, you know, there's a lot of, most of the internet traffic's now mobily.
Yeah.
And this is sort of more of a how do we get research findings out of question, because, you know, the NIH process is, you know, a year or so to get funded, you know, a year or two to roll out a huge project into this, and then a year or so to get published. And by then, you know, we're in a new era of technology. And, you know, it's just the Health 2.0 conference in San Francisco, and they have, you know, emerging, and they talk about all the user interface and new technologies, and, you know, they push these out right away and say, let's use them now. So I'm just wondering on your comment about how this sort of technology world pace and the academic world pace and how they might meet up somehow.
Yeah. you can imagine when our recruitment was going slower than we wanted it to, I was a nervous wreck. Because the world is moving very, very fast. So, but actually, we're doing a better job keeping up for the intervention part of this than we are related to the data collection. So here's a concrete example from the data collection. So one of the emergences that's happened during the time of this is tablets. So many of you probably know you can't do the online ASA24 on a tablet computer. So a lot of our women use, for looking at the intervention features and that kind of stuff, they use a tablet, and they use their mobile phones too. But for the ASA24, that can't be done on a smartphone or on a tablet. But, yeah. So this is going very fast. Particularly the pregnancy part of this, I can't wait to get this done because I think if we find anything that's important, this is very close to being ready to be disseminated into the real world. And if we don't get there first, somebody else is going to get there. What's unique about this compared to the many, many other online pregnancy websites that are out there, is the interactivity for behavior change, healthy lifestyle behavior change integrated with the weight monitoring. That's what's unique.
Other questions? Well, certainly an important topic, thank you. I mean, I think, you know, for physicians and audience, you know, once these things come out, the next step is how to get physicians or providers to, roll these out, which is a whole other step, and hopefully it doesn't take as long, but getting providers to do stuff is a complicated thing.
Yes. And my tact is they have to know about it, and they can't be against it, but they don't have to be on board 100%.